Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
All right, so Ireland got the job done at the Rugby World Cup today, but it was fairly uninspiring stuff in a 35-0 win against Russia. Ireland did earn the bonus point. Five tries from Rob Kearney, Peter O'Mahony, Rhys Ruddock, Andrew Conway and Gary Ringrose. We're going to talk to Keith Wood in just a moment. But first, let's hear from... Well, we'll hear in a moment from Joe Schmidt and his thoughts on that performance. But let's say hello to Keith Wood. Afternoon, Keith.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Relax yourself there for a moment. We will hear from Joe Schmidt very shortly and from Niall Scannell as well. Here's what Joe Schmidt had to say in his post-match press conference.
I think there were more things that pleased me, definitely. We started really well again. We got those two early tries, as we did last time. And then we made a bit of hard work of it. I think one of the plans we had for this evening was to try to get a few scores early if we could, because... speaking to the guys who played here the last two times, the longer the game goes, the more moisture there is in the air, on the ground and on the ball and on the player themselves. So we knew it was going to get more and more difficult as time went on. And that was probably a little bit of consternation in that third quarter where we didn't get the bonus point try. But thankfully, it was great to see Andrew Conway streak away and get that try. And then probably to finish with the best try of the night at the end. I don't think we lost our way. We just didn't convert some chances. And when you look back, there were some really good chances, both in the first and second half. I felt our maul got going really well, and then we didn't get anything on the back of it a few times. Rhys finished his try when he muscled up with a bit of help from John Ryan. And then in that third quarter, there was a little bit of frustration. You know, on the back of CJ Standers' line break, where we got very close to scoring, it was frustrating that we lost the ball in the tackle. At the same time, I'm pretty realistic about how tough conditions were out there, having spoken to the players afterwards. And I felt that we controlled a good amount of the game, albeit not necessarily scoring.
Joe, it's obviously been tough conditions over the last 160 minutes of rugby, so that obviously legislates for a few of the errors. But are you seeing anything else in terms of outside of the conditions that has had a common thread over the two games in terms of being able to arrest some of the errors that come in, especially like in those moments in the third quarter today?
It's been a tough 180 minutes and probably a couple of extra minutes that we didn't want against Japan when they came very close to getting a little bit more of a margin that would have been costly for us. So I do think the humidity is something that we're not used to playing with. One of the things about the humidity in the first game was it was in drops of rain, and we're reasonably well equipped to cope with that because we've played with those conditions a number of times. So in a potentially dry stadium with a roof, to have the humidity as it was and the moisture content like it was, it is a little bit foreign to us. So I think game to game we will continue to adjust. We have also at least you didn't drop the ball today, Johnny. The conditions I think we are adjusting to. I have heard that it does start to cool off in October, so it's October. So I'm hopeful that the conditions will start to change a little bit, and we won't have to adjust as much to them. So we'll sort of find out in 9 days' time. I know I've spent a fair bit of time in my younger days in Samoa, and they get very high humidity there, so they may well be a little bit better adjusted than we are in 9 days' time, and unless we get a little bit of a drop in the temperature.
So that is Joe Schmidt in his post-match press conference after Ireland beat Russia by 35 points to nil. Staying upbeat, I guess it'll be the weeks, months and years to follow whether we'll find out whether that was a bit of a facade from Joe Schmidt. Keith Wood is with us. Keith, Russia 20th in the world, and going into this game I guess there were two objectives. First of all, get the bonus point win, which Ireland achieved. The other was to restore confidence within the camp and to the fans. Was that achieved with that performance?
Well, the win was. The bonus points were. The confidence, I don't think so. Actually, we looked I thought even though we were in control for a huge amount of the game and making mistakes, but we were in control of the game. I thought we just looked shy on confidence. And so I don't know what the conditions are like. I've played in humid games, but I don't know whether the humidity like that. I don't think so. Humidity and the heat, obviously, which makes it very difficult. So I don't know the conditions. So let's not pretend that I do. But what I do know is that when the weather is bad or if it is a bit wet, it narrows the gap between the two teams always. And if you looked at the manner in which Russia played, they played not to really have the ball too much. And they ended up kicking a huge amount of ball because if they had it, it was a liability to them. And they played, I thought, an incredibly sensible game for an amateur team trying to limit chances and limit opportunities to a professional outfit. And I think the weather helped them in that respect. I think that's good play from them. They wouldn't like to have been beaten by 60 or 70 points, and they've managed to not let that happen. But for Ireland, we made too many mistakes. And yes, the ball is slippy, but I just think our confidence has taken a huge kicking against Japan. Like, having played as well as we played against Scotland. Now, I still, because we spoke about this a bit already, Nathan, but... Like, I thought Scotland were abject against Ireland. I thought Ireland played at a particular pace that would put a huge number of teams under pressure, and it was fantastic. We then didn't play with that pace against Japan, and we really, really suffered for it. So we're going up and down and up and down. Today, we got all the things done that we should have done. It should have been easier. We should have been more efficient. We should have been better. We weren't. And so I'm... the idea of looking back at this game, I don't ever want to look at it again. You know, I just don't think that this is of any value to anybody to look at it again. How did you play in certain facets of that? I would just be saying, there you go. There's the game. We have the 5 points. Will we just turf that bloody thing in the bin and never speak of it again? And let's go back and see what we do for the next game. Because Samoa are going to be better, stronger, more organized, more professional. Very heavy hitting, very hard hitting. We'll spill a lot of ball. I don't know what the conditions are going to be like, but thankfully, we have a break. So is it 9 days we have before
Samoa?
Yeah,
9 days.
Right. So 9 days, you can get an awful lot done in 9 days, and I would be hoping that the first part of that awful lot is a bloody rest. Because these guys need to have a smile on their face and try and get back into the idea of it, because that's going to be a brutal test. I still believe they can go and win with the 5 points. What the way this World Cup was set up and our group was set up was a way that once you got over the first game, you then would go and you'd play Japan, and it would be a huge emotional game. You'd beat Japan, and then you would have momentum building matches. That's kind of gone. You could see the pressure in the 20 minutes in the second half today. All momentum is gone. So all Ireland need to do at the moment is make certain that they get the 5 points the next time. So it's tough. It's an entirely different mentality. So how critical am I of the performance? I'm pretty critical of it because I think certain guys just looked really short on confidence and they need to get that back. I did think some players played very well. But overall, my expectation was that we'd win and we'd win easily. We won. We won easily. But we didn't get the fifth bonus point until very late in the day. And that was nerve-wracking.
So we will talk about what Ireland can do over the next 9 days, tactically, mentally, to get the players back on track for that Samoa game, heading hopefully towards the quarterfinal. And I think this game will be long forgotten about very quickly as well. But how the game did go? Probably started in a familiar enough pattern to this World Cup in that Ireland started well. They went back to some power plays from Joe Schmidt that have worked well in the past. They got tries on the board very early. What did Ireland do well early in the game that they weren't able to sustain as it went on?
Well, it was a couple of things. If we just touch on some of the players first. The two recognised leaders, maybe three leaders with Rob Kearney, but Sexton and Peter O'Mahony, played with a level of intensity that some of the rest of the players couldn't catch up with at the start. Johnny in particular, which for me, he's older now, right? So he's 33 years of age. So he is playing, and he played incredibly smart for the 40 minutes. So he did take the ball to the line, but he didn't take it to the line where he was going to get smashed. Now, whether they said he was supposed to come off after 40 minutes anyway, that may be the case. There was a thing of ice on his tie afterwards. But actually, I thought he did manage and control the game very well, ably assisted by certain players. O'Mahony, I thought, again, at the start, played very well. I thought Reece Ruddock put in an incredible shift. I thought he played really, really well. I thought Kilcoyne for me, is the only Irish player that is getting over the gain line with ease, consistently doing it. He might only get a yard over the game line, but that difference of that yard makes to a scrum half is extraordinary, because not only is he getting over the line, he's placing the ball incredibly well. When that happened, Ireland are a much, much better side, and he seems to be the only one with that bit of that burst of energy and that acceleration. So I think he has had a very good tournament so far.
Has he done enough on what you saw today, Kilcoyne, to maybe raise some questions about Keane Healy's place?
Well, I think what he has done is he has said that if Ireland are playing a game that gets over the gain line, he has to do it, or Keane has to get up in the space. So for me, I'm looking at the two of them. I'm not overly stressed with either of them, because I think Keane Healy keeps delivering. And it's unusual that you're looking for a loose head prop to be the guy to get over the gain line, right? So, but with either of those, you can start or finish. So it depends whether you want to have, it becomes very important for momentum at the start of a game to get over the gain line quicker. You may go with Kilcoyne. But I'm not worried about that, because I think those two players are two players playing in very, very good form. And we need both of them. Actually, it isn't as if we only have one on, that's that's a criticism of the other. We
one
actually
gets
need
50
both.
Minutes, one gets half an hour.
That's exactly it. And we need both of them.
So you talk about Sexton and his influence and his control of the game and how smart he played. He goes off at half time, and Joe Schmidt touched on it there in that third quarter, is where Ireland really seemed to struggle for energy, for intent. There were a lot more mistakes, and maybe a few nerves start creeping in around the bonus point. There's some very uncharacteristic mistakes. There's one moment in particular which stands out where Ireland moved the ball quickly, comes to Rob Kearney, who kicks a sort of aimless ball, the type we saw against Japan, straight down the middle when there were options to pass out wide. Now, maybe that is the conditions that are in his head. He just doesn't want to take any risks. But in that third quarter, why do you think Ireland played like that? Is it the influence of Sexton so strong that when he goes off, they're a bit rudderless?
Rudderless is the wrong word in my view, but I think they're inexperienced when he goes off. So you have McGrath, who hasn't played a huge amount of international rugby. You've got Jack Carty, who's on his like only a few caps, who is trying to bed into it, who wasn't really in the shake-up, now is in the shake-up. I do think even having Carberry been pulled out beforehand, that's a shock to a team that's a little bit low on confidence. So I'm not saying people shouldn't be critical, and I'm not saying that people should say that everything is right and rosy with the world, because it isn't. Like, we still didn't play well, but we got what we needed to get out of it, but we didn't play well. And there are a few positives, but not that many. So I look at it, and Carty came on, he had a decent kickoff, then the ball was kicked and he knocked it on straight away. That's hard for a young guy. Now, he's not that young, but he's very young in international rugby, playing in really tough conditions when everybody else is struggling with it. So, look, I read into that you need to play the simple things, and maybe the kicking is actually a better thing to do under those circumstances, because if they make a mistake inside their 22, Ireland have an opportunity to kick to the corner to do something else. So, look, I thought it's a hard game. It was a hard game to watch. It wasn't a game that was in enjoyable. You're not getting a huge amount of. But it's one of those horrible games in hard conditions that you just want to get out of it, the other end of it. But I'm not going to try and jump to the positives, right? But I would look at the fact that I thought Gary Ringrose had lost confidence in the warm-up games, and having injuries and coming back in. And then you want him. This is a big thing for him. and he's not really there, and suddenly he gets the chance to play. I thought he played very well against Japan. I really did. In a losing game, I thought he showed a level of energy, focus, and that sort of infectious energy. This exact same today. I thought he was excellent again today, you know, and so that's good. On very difficult conditions, he did the simple things and did them very well. So I like seeing the fact that some of those guys are coming back a little bit more. It's good to see Keith Earls on the field. I thought Conway played pretty well. And that's kind of where you are with it. Ty Byrne did pretty well. He put in he looks better without the headgear for some reason. You kind of seem to see him more, doing more grunt things, whatever it is. But I'm looking at it saying, I'm just glad. I'm hoping that Jordy Murphy isn't badly injured. I'm hoping that Rob Kearney isn't badly injured. Like, I'm looking forward to the guys getting a couple of days off. Like, I really am, because they looked wrecked at the end of that day. So if it is that sapping, and they've played two matches in a short period of time, that's sapping. And a lot of people don't understand or recognize that having played 5 days ago, your body hasn't recovered. And you may start well, and it may degrade over time, just your energy levels might. And we may have seen part of that. Now, some of that could come down to selection. Some of that could come down to the fact that we've too many injured players in the squad and we're waiting for guys to get back to the place. I still look at it I'm not happy about it. But I mean, what am I supposed to say? Am I going to throw my toys out of the pram and say we're all in the poo now, you know, that things haven't? I still see the potential and possibility to get a little bit more momentum, to get the 5 points next week against Samoa, and to then go and play, presumably, South Africa in the quarterfinal, and to say, are we geared up to play a game of that caliber, of that standard, when we haven't been playing to the level that we would expect to? And actually, the answer to that is yes. But we're putting everything into going as well as it possibly going, and we're putting everything into the fact that actually we can put aside the low levels of confidence and say, this is a huge game. We have the ability. We've done it in the past. Let's bin the last month and let's deliver on what we're supposed to do. Is that a capacity of this team? Yes, it is. But it requires an awful lot to go right.
The injury situation is something that hasn't gone right during this tournament. And Josh Smith, even before the tournament, felt that 31 players was a little bit tight in terms of managing a squad. They've essentially been going with 29 because Robbie Henshaw still unavailable, and Joey Carberry has only been able to play a few minutes so far. And again, you'd have to be worried the fact he pulls out with some sort of a niggle in that ankle. Jordy Murphy may well have broken a rib. It may have been a very short trip to Japan. If it was, and they're looking at call-ups for these next potentially two games, do you go straight out there and look for a number eight, look for somebody like Jack O'Donoghue? Is Tommy O'Donnell very much in the mix? Or do you go sort of left field and maybe bring Devin Toner out as backup because you want to rest players and potentially move Ian Henderson into a back row option?
They're the options, I think. I think you're looking at Tommy O'Donnell. You're maybe even looking at Max Deegan, who's young and untested. But I've always said that there's something about him. He has undoubted skills, but whether those undoubted skills start when you get to the a game against Samoa or maybe a quarterfinal against South Africa, that may be a bit of a step. It is a bit of a step. So I think the safe pair of hands, the two options are Tommy O'Donnell to go as your back row forward, who has been plagued with injuries for a long time, Jack O'Donoghue, and or Devin. And does Devin come back into the mix? I think if you looked at the game that was today, there was a big need to rest our two second rows. And I think I thought Tyke Byrne did very well. I thought John Klein didn't do as well. And so does that mean you bring out another second row? And is that what we're going to need in time? And are we happy enough then to say that Ty can do a good enough job in the back row? Personally, if a back row is injured, I'd be bringing out a back row.
You've been pretty clear, I think, on how important you feel the next 9 days are in getting the players rested, get them mentally, physically right for that Samoa game and a chance to really head into a quarterfinal with some confidence. When you look at how the tournament has gone so far, from a management point of view, from Joe Schmidt's point of view, so methodical, you would imagine, has planned out pretty much every scenario possible for this tournament. A lot of what he has planned doesn't seem to have quite worked out so far in terms of the lack of energy, the lack of flair that's been there in a couple of the performances. What do you think happens over these next 9 days from Schmidt's point of view? Does he think it up and start again with certain aspects of Ireland's play and style? Or is it batten down the hatches, get everybody into camp and just hope that that little bit of rest mentally means that they can just flick a switch when they go out against Samoa?
Yeah, I don't think it's a flicking of a switch. I think you need to deal with the lack of confidence. I think you need to deal with the fact of playing in hard conditions and how much that can affect your confidence. And if those conditions are different, fine. If it's different for two like teams, I think it then becomes a far more interesting battle because it's hard for both and it's just a slugfest, right? But when there's one team far superior to the other, like we had today, it just brings the gap an awful lot closer. That's what happens. I think there's been... you can prepare for everything you possibly want. And I think if you look back on the last 4 years, or you look back to 4 years ago, you would say that the four or five injuries and suspension that we had against Argentina in 15 proved that we needed to do an awful lot more and get more players onto the international circuit. That has definitely happened. However, and if I look at us compared to England in particular, we ended up picking a lot of players, players picking up injury in August, September. And England had a lot of players that were injured over the summer or at the end of the previous season. They all came back into fitness and most of them have actually survived through the couple of matches that they've played and they're pretty much at full strength. We haven't. It's very hard to say when you've invested time and Joe Schmidt will come up for criticism for the fact that he doesn't have enough of 10s or did he take a wrong 10, should he have brought Carberry, should he not have brought Carberry. My belief is he brought Carberry because he wants to win the World Cup, not just to get out of the group. So he needs guys that are going to be able to deliver at the highest level, and Carberry has proven and delivered for him in the past and it's worth the risk having it. Same with Robbie Henshaw. However, with Robbie getting another bang, with Carberry getting another bang, it just puts the pressure on other players. It's tough. It's a gamble you have to take because there is 31 players. But look, my view always is that 31 players is what everybody has to play with. So you need to have guys that are robust. But I think Joe is taking as much of a gamble as he possibly can because he wants to succeed. He doesn't want to have a creditable performance. He wants to be able to succeed. And I think that's made it very difficult in the last period of time because we've had people playing three matches that you would never expect to play three matches. And the guys look shattered at the end of today. So I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I'm not giving an excuse for it either. But I still would go back to what I said at the very start. I seem to be talking an awful lot. Just me on my own means I talk too much, Nathan. That's definitely true. But the idea is that you get through the pool matches, you get to the quarterfinal that you want, and you gear everything to fly on that quarterfinal. Like, that has to be the mature way of doing it. And irrespective of the loss that we've had, we still have an opportunity to win our group. So we need to make certain that we go out and do that. And then then all bets are off. Then what do you do? Is that where a lot of the work has gone on? To say, well, look, our expectation is to get out of the group. Let's get out of the group. This is the game we're going to play. How do we put everything in play for that? I don't know if that is the case.
Yeah.
But it seems to be the case. So I'm not saying we have to hold back and not criticize or not be upset when we don't have a setting the world on light performance. But I'm kind of half resigned saying this. We did what we had to do today, you know, but it was ugly watching.
Our rugby coverage is a thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. So when you talk there about confidence and certain players maybe struggling with a little bit of confidence, and maybe Joe Schmidt has thought of the big picture all along and his man management comes to the fore over the next 9 days, and by the time Ireland get to a quarterfinal, actually they've waited for this moment, they've prepared for this moment for 4 years, and players are mentally ready and confident that they can take on a South Africa or a New Zealand. But in the heat of a World Cup, and from your experience, if confidence isn't high on an individual level, how difficult is it to drag a player out of that if their last experience is underperforming against Russia? How difficult is it in camp, in a hotel, on a training pitch, to turn a player's head around and think, do you know what? I am the guy who won a Grand Slam. I still have that within me. When you're in this sort of intense moment of a World Cup that kind of takes on a life of its own.
It's incredibly easy with some guys, incredibly difficult with others. So it's when your leadership group and your coach and how they understand how to get the best out of each player, because every one of them is an ordinary human being. You know, we kind of forget that a lot. You know, so you knock a ball on today and you say, well, actually, that's a million Irish people who are maybe watching the rugby today. They've seen me make an absolute, you know, numpty of myself by knocking on a ball I shouldn't knock on. You just have to get over that very quickly, because, you know, the idea and the thought process is the great work you've done has got you to here today. So the mistakes that you make are mistakes that have immediately happened in the past. You have to understand why you made them. You have to be very honest to yourself why you made them. They don't have to be honest to the media. They just have to be honest to themselves and accept the fact that that's why, and then they can deal with it afterwards.
I did wonder that, actually, listening to Joe Schmidt in his press conference. He was extremely upbeat. And Johnny Sexton's performance in his post-match interview, where he stood up and very much extolled the positives from the day and getting the bonus point. They knew how tough it would be, but they felt they did a lot of things right. That actually Schmidt getting to his senior players and probably realising that within the camp, maybe there's a few people down, just trying to get that positive message across, that somehow they can believe that it's going to return in the space of 9 days.
Well, that's his job. That's both their jobs, actually. They're leaders within the team. So, you know, if they're to be brutally honest and pick through everything, I think it's quite unrealistic of the media to expect them to give exact answers to everything that they do or have done or not do. Their job is to try and make certain that they win the next game. This game is already gone for them. They're not going to think about it. Why? Why would they? That's it done. Like, if we're to be honest,
they not need to learn from this game?
Of the game that they've just had there, they need to, I would say there's very little for them to learn in it. It's a game that's done and gone out of the way. So they may need to make certain that they have a higher attention to detail on catching the ball, because they seem to lose that, as every other team, by the way. This is not a uniquely Irish situation. Every single team that has played in that stadium has had more unforced errors than we've ever seen in you know, high standard international rugby. Just so we'd like to say that it's an excuse for the Irish, but if it is, it's an excuse for the English before and everybody else who's played in the stadium. So let's not kind of flagellate ourselves totally for the fact we got out of it. We've got the win. We've got the bonus points. We need to make certain that the next time we play, we have a higher attention to detail. But when you're looking at an error-strewn match, you're better off just to forget. You know, you don't want to repeat it again. But lads, come on, we just didn't get that right for whatever reason. You just need to get that out of the way.
All right,
Keith. You know, otherwise you're just going to spend half the time just talking about the negative.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we absolutely have to be. But if you look at the coach and you look at the senior players, what do you think they're going to talk about? They're going to talk about a high sense of pride in wearing their jersey. They're going to talk about going out to play a team that's going to try and smash them up, and they're going to go and win. That's what they want to do, is go and win. They want to get to the quarterfinal, and all they want to talk about is positive and the hard work it's going to take to get the win.
Keith, good stuff. We shall talk to you, I'm sure, ahead of that game against Samoa.
Brilliant. Cheers, Nathan.
Cheers, Keith.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.